message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
This church has blessed us greatly. We are cooking on a stove that you had a lot to do with. You've done repairs on our vehicles. We have some interesting vehicles God's blessed us with. I believe that there might even be some duct tape in one of them, but God is good and He keeps us going. It's because of you that those vehicles are still running, and we appreciate that. You have loved us and cared for us on many occasions, and I just pray that God blesses you for that. We appreciate it. Hope was what I was thinking about this morning. I just wanted to share a couple scriptures with you. A lot of times when I'm standing up here, I feel like I'm doing a commercial because we're always raising money. And you know what? I'm not going to do that this morning. You know we need volunteers. You know we need money. You know we need scholarships. You know we need sponsorships, cars. We know even old cars, whatever. You know that we need all those things. And so I just want to share something with you. Ask the Lord. I want to minister something. Gary's going to bring a short word in a little bit. But I just wanted, and the word He gave me was hope. Hope is a feeling of expectation and a desire for certain things to happen. And when we're Christians, we have confident expectation in what God has promised us He will do. Amen. It's different than those that are not believers. And Psalm 25 was a scripture the Lord brought me to this morning. And it says, "In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths." Even when they don't make sense, does God ever ask you to do things that don't make a bit of sense? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I think it's daily. I don't understand. Or in our season of pain, in our season of grief and loss, physical problems, our bodies are not cooperating with us, relationships that are a mess, financial depression, addiction struggles. "Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." Our hope is in Him all day long. "Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in ways they should choose." He will tell you what you need to do. Sometimes we don't want to ask Him because we know that there's something He has called us to do and we don't want to do it. But He says, if you want to know the way to go, I will show you, I will teach you, I will guide you. Everything you need, He will do. The Lord confides in those who fear Him. He confides in us. Doesn't that sound amazing to you? He confides in me. It's hard for me to even say that. I can say He confides in you, but for me to say He confides in me, the Creator of the universe speaks to me. He speaks to you. The Lord confides in those who fear Him. He makes His promises known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord. In that scripture in 2 Chronicles 20:12, it says, He had a vast army before Him. He said, "I do not know what to do, but my eyes are upon you." When we have our eyes on the shepherd, we are exactly where we need to be because we are followers of Christ. And if we follow Him, He will lead us exactly where we need to go. Now, many times we're not on the mountaintop, are we? We're in times that are very difficult. But there's always that grace and that joy, that knowing that He leads us and guides us. And do you sometimes try to use your own strategies? Do you have these great ideas for God? Oh, yes, I've had some great ones. I think He must chuckle up there a lot. And we want to help Him, but He doesn't really need our help. He needs us to trust Him and to listen and to obey what He asks us to do. It's not our plans. It's not our strategies. It's not our money. It's certainly not our good looks, right? It's not going to get us where we need to go. It's in Him. Because my hope is in you. Because my hope is in you. And I want to pray for you this morning that you would have a confident expectation. I think all of us in some ways are waiting for something that God has promised. Are there any of you that are waiting for something that God has promised that has not yet come into fruition? I am. And I believe that God will bring those things to fruition. Amen. And sometimes we get heartsick in the waiting, don't we? Do you ever get discouraged? I believe that he sees us, he hears us. He said that he inclines his ear to us. Almighty God inclines his ear to you, and he hears, and he answers. And so I just want to pray that for you this morning briefly, if I may. Pastor Paul, you kicked it this morning, our page, so I'm going to do a short. I just want to pray for hope for you. I know that some of you are in situations where you have waited and waited and waited and waited on God, and you're weary. But I believe that God has heard. Father, I just pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, there are things that you have spoken. There are things that you have said to your people. And I pray that Lahos, that God, you would bring those to fruition. I pray that those who are weary, that you would give them strength. I pray, God, for those who have been waiting so long and are ready to give up. I pray that you would encourage them, that you would be a shield about them, that you would be the lifter of their head. And I pray that they would have bottle soul increased faith, knowing that you are a God of your word, that you do not lie, and when you speak, it happens. I pray, be the lifter, Alosai, of their heads. I pray that they would know and see. And Father, even though right now they may not see it or feel it, Beloho, I pray that they would know, Aposo, that you are in process and that you will do what you have promised to do. We thank you for that hope, Lord. We thank you. You know that our ministry is all about believing that God, a relationship with God, is what does the transformation. It's not the staff. It's not anything else. It is all about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to give as much time as possible. And so I want to ask if Miss Tanya would come up, and she's going to give her testimony. This young lady is such an inspiration. She has been working for us how long now?
Going on 3 months.
3 months, it seems like 5 years. And she is amazing, and she loves Jesus, and she's very trustworthy. And we've become we can depend on her. I was thinking the other day, our program coordinator's out, and all these things were going up, and I go, Tanya, can you do this? Tanya, can you do that? And she's just right there, and she's doing a great job, and we appreciate her. Thank you.
Okay. It's been a minute since I've done this. So. This picture is a picture of me from before. I just love to that I can share my testimony because I'm living proof of, you know, what this program can do and the people that support us, our sponsors, why they're so important. And you hit it right on the nail when you brought up the Revelation 12:11. It says they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word, and by the power of their testimony. And see, I was one that I never thought that I would have a testimony. Because I was born and raised in the church. My parents were missionary kids. My grandpa was the pastor. My parents were the children's pastors. And I even followed in suit. I taught Sunday school. I've been on mission trips and everything, all before I reached high school. And I did everything and anything that Christians are supposed to do, right? But little did I realize, the one thing that I lacked thereof was that personal relationship with Christ. So once I graduated high school and I stepped out from that hedge of protection of mom and dad, I realized too little too late how dark and cold the real world really is. And around that time, also, my parents had separated and divorced. And so I kind of dove into a world that basically swallowed me alive whole. And I tried to fill those empty voids with men. And then I was put on, by doctors, I was put on antidepressants and anxiety medications, anything you can think of. And And also, I've had surgeries growing up, so like on top of it, anxiety, I always felt like I was in pain, so I was getting pain medicine from the doctors. And you know, you don't realize that, you know, an addiction can start from something that, you know, you don't think you have a problem because the doctor gave it to me. So, and after so long, you end up in a world where you are depending on way more than what the doctor gave you. It becomes other substances, you know, people, and everything. It just, after several years of that, it was just, I ended up hitting just this downfall where I lost everything, my kids, my home, my car, and just so quickly. And then I had to hit rock bottom, and I literally lost everything. I was living on the street. I was, you know, hopping from couch to couch, you know, hotel to hotel, wherever I could lay my head at night. And then one day I woke up in jail, and it was August 29th, 2021. This picture was taken, and that's when God opened up the doors to Adult and Teen Challenge. Because when I got out, I had never been in trouble before. I had nowhere to go, so basically, the only door that was open was Adult and Teen Challenge, and he brought me out of that mess, and I was so thankful. Amen. I'd love to say that I just got to Adult and Teen Challenge, and you know, like in my mind, everything. Oh, I'm better now, and all this, but everything that they were teaching me, like I'm like, oh, I already know all that. I know those verses. I know this, you know. So I'm like, okay, everything's better. I don't need this place, you know. But I became very prideful pretty quickly because, you know, I'm like, okay, everything's better. And then one day God brought me to my knees and made me realize I didn't know nothing. You know, I knew it in here, but it was empty right here. And I can't be any more thankful than anything because, you know, I see God in a whole different light than I ever had before. And my program was not easy. It's a year program, but after a lot of fighting with God, of course, I decided to do what they call the Associates Program, which adds 5 months onto your program. And through that, I finished 10 Berean courses towards going to my certified ministers. So I should take my test this fall. And I've actually officially started my first Berean for the level 2 for the license level in the meantime. And none of this would be possible at all without wonderful supporters like y'all. That's why y'all are so important to help us keep our doors open, because the wonderful general staff that are so loving and so caring have spoke so much life into me, you know, and it started by the word of their testimony. And, you know, he brought me out of such a dark, empty place, and now I have a relationship with him that I will always have. And I have been staff for almost 3 months, and I just feel like that God had called me to become staff because it's my turn to give back to, so I can help others meet the Lord the way I have been saved. And I wanted to close off with the verse, Proverbs 22:6, where it says to train your child in the way he should go, and when he gets older, he won't depart from it. And it's so true, because I was taught so much my whole life. I knew it all, and you know, and then when I became older and I came back to the Lord, you know, that prodigal, you know, it just, you know, I knew the way to go. I knew the right path. And I just want to thank y'all so much for all the support you give, because, you know, without y'all, none of this would be possible. That's why it's so important for each one of us for this program. And these ladies are my heart, and I love them so much. And I just am so proud of each and every one of them. And but thank you. And I want to show you my this is my after picture, but thank you so much.
Wow. It's awesome, isn't it? Have you ever seen so many ladies all at once being able to do something like that? Isn't that cool? And this right here is what Jesus does. You know what I'm saying? It's good that there's a teen challenge and everything, but I'll tell you something. We can't cure a sniffle. Jesus is the one that gives life. And the transformations that take place are only because of his power. My name is Eddie, and like Sister Rachel said, I've been in the program a while, and I hadn't got it yet, so I'm still trying to figure it out. Is that you, Sister Susan, over there? Sister Susan Roberts worked out at Teen Challenge for a while. God bless her. And she's a dear, sweet person. One of our students just, I can't talk but a second because we got to get on with the thing. But one of our students come in. And by the way, everything that we get at Teen Challenge is through a lot of the Assemblies of God. The vans and stuff that we drive, Assemblies of God. The literature they write in, Light for the Lost Men's Ministries, stuff around the campus, women's groups that just help out and stuff, laptop that we use, provided by BGMC. It's just amazing all the arms that the Assemblies of God has that Teen Challenge gets to, you know, kind of attach onto and everything. One of the books and stuff that we have now, it's a new set of books and stuff, it's called Breaking Free. And in there's a timeline, and it zigzags and stuff. But it basically sums up your life and everything. And one of the little gals about 2 years ago, when she came in, she filled it in. And I was reading through it and processing it. And she had like about 30 or 40 different things. I mean, she never had a chance. And a lot of our ladies, whenever they come to the world, they don't have a chance. I mean, I was fortunate. My folks got saved when I was 6 years old. I escaped a bunch of stuff because I grew up in church. And I mean, you either love God or you were on your way to heaven. Dad was going to make sure of that. But this little gal, she never had a chance. She was born to a prostitute. At 2 years old, she was given up for adoption and stuff because her mother couldn't take care of her. And then she came back into the home and stuff. And I mean, just the next 3, 4, 5, 6 years bounced in and out. Foster home between her mother and stuff, getting her back and everything. And by the time she's 9 years old, she took her first drink of alcohol. By the time she was 10 or 11, she was using marijuana. Her mother introduced her to men and stuff through her profession. And she didn't have a chance. By the time she's 15 years old, she had a daughter, she had a son. And she lost it to CPS after, you know, being 16. And she had another son at 17. And then she went to jail. And by this time, she's doing hard drugs and things like that. So for the next 10 or 11 years of her life, she just bounced around in and out of jail, in and out of prostitution, in and out of getting her kids back, losing her kids, getting her kids back, losing her kids and stuff. And it was just a continual cycle. And you could see the downward spiral. And at the end and stuff, it says she thought about taking her own life because there wasn't any more hope. Just like Sister Rachel was talking about a second ago about having hope. She'd lost all hope, and she was ready to give it up and end her life and everything. And somebody told her about Teen Challenge. And she came to Teen Challenge. She didn't know who Jesus was. I mean, that was... She didn't know a lot. I mean, she didn't know nothing about anything, about Christianity or anything like that. And it was so cool because I was on like the bottom of the timeline stuff. It says, came to Teen Challenge. Then the next thing, I got saved. And then the next thing, I got baptized. And then the next thing, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then the next thing, son comes to the Lord. And then the second son comes to the Lord and stuff. And it's just amazing how that life was set in such a downward spiral. And stuff, and all of a sudden, bam, Jesus stepped in and it reversed. No more the going to the jail. No more the using of the drugs. No more, you know, losing sons. I mean, her sons has grown up by this time and everything. And it's just completely changed because Jesus came on the scene and just changed her whole life and everything. So I was on the phone, probably about a month and a half, 2 months ago, And somebody called and stuff and said, man, I've heard so much about your program. I want to get into your program and everything. And they were just bubbling over, and I'm sitting there explaining everything. It's like, how come you know so much about Teen Challenge? And she said, well, she said, there's a lady that works here and stuff. She said, can I put her on the phone? She put her on the phone, and I said, who is this? She said, Brother Eddie, this is Ashley. And I'm sitting there, Ashley, are you serious? What are you doing working in a place? She said, I'm telling people about Jesus. And I'm sitting there going, wow. So she went from going downhill, ready to end her life, and now she's helping get others people get their lives turned around and stuff. If you don't know what Teen Challenge is, that's what Teen Challenge is. Allowing Jesus to work so that people can be changed and so that they can influence others also. Isn't that cool? We see that all the time. That's what's neat. It's neat. And if they come in and they don't know Jesus, I mean, we introduce them. But to Jesus, we don't beat them down or anything like that. And it's like after a while, it's like, man, this is a God of love that these people are serving and stuff. They memorize over 250 scriptures. If you want to put that in perspective, the gospel or the book of James is 108 scriptures. They memorize 250 scriptures. Sarah's memorized Romans chapter 12. You don't want to do it, do you? You can't do it when you got enough time. She knows all 21 verses of chapter 12 of Romans. And they just learn a lot of scripture. So the verse that I'm standing on this morning is in 2 Timothy. And it's chapter number 1. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I know who I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Hi, my name's Tammy. I've been in the program for 5 minutes. My stand on verse is Psalms 46:5. God is within her and she will not fail.
Hi, my name is Heather. I've been in the program for 6 months. My stand on verse is Isaiah 43:1. Do not be afraid. I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name and you are mine.
Hello, my name is Arissa. I've been in the program 6 months, almost 7, and my stand-on verse is 2 Timothy 4:17. The Lord stood with me and gave me strength.
Hi, my name is Isabel Carmona. I've been in the program for 5 months.
Hi, my name is Monique Martinez. I've been in the program for about 3 months now, and my stand-on verse is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me.
Hi, my name is Hannah, and I've been in the program for 5 months, and my stand-on scripture is Exodus 14:14. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.
My name is Sarah Ralph. I'm 19. I've been in the program almost 10 months. And I changed my stand-on verse. I don't have it memorized, but it's 2 Corinthians 4:8, and it states, we are pressed on every side by trouble, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be also seen in our bodies.
Hi, I'm Ari. I have been in the program for 3.5 months. My stand-on verse is Proverbs 16:24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones.
Hi, my name is Ebony Simpson. I'm 28 years old, and I've been in the program for about almost a year and some change. That's a long time. But my stand-on verse is Galatians 6:9. This is the Living Bible version, and it says, and let us not get weary in doing what's right, for after a while we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up and get discouraged.
Hello, my name is Elizabeth. I'm a restoration student. I graduated, went on my own, failed, and came back for some healing. I've been back for 2 months. My stand-on verse is Romans 8:1, therefore there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus.
My name is Faith. I've been in the program for 5 months, and my stand-on verse is Isaiah 48, though the grass withers and the flowers fade, the word of our Lord stands forever.
Good name is Danica. I've been in the program 11 weeks now, and my stand-on verse is Jeremiah 3:22. My wayward children, says the Lord, come back to me, and I will heal your wayward hearts.
Thank you.
Pastor Gary is going to come and share. Gary does everything. We all do everything, but Gary does a lot of everything. He's in charge of vocation and marketing and just everything. So, but he's also a man of God, and that's the cool thing.
Appreciate it. I am so glad to be here, and I realize I think probably the next 45 minutes to an hour I'll be through, and we can go on. But people come to hear Teen Challenge, and I do too. I love it. I just want to share scripture with you for a minute and share with the Lord how good He is. I love this ministry. I don't know, Eddie and I are pretty close. I've been 32 years with Teen Challenge altogether, and I have about decided this is what I'll do when I grow up. I think I kind of like this. So there's nothing to me like it. And I'm thankful for our students and what the Lord does. And we just after the service, if you want, we have a table out here with goods that we make and sell and take for donations. And that helps us. If you are interested in sponsoring one of our students, that would be a good thing, too, you kind of interact with them and get to know them a little bit through send cards and notes and pray for them. Excellent way to be in touch, too. So anyway, we're here today to just share what the Lord has done. I believe in the power of God to change our lives. I mean that with all my heart. I've seen too many miracles, and I know not everybody makes it. Not everybody makes that change in their heart, but the ones that really apply themselves do well, and God saves them. Thank Him for that. Father, just be with us today as we share your word. Have your way in our lives. Speak to us, we pray today. In the name of Jesus, amen. And I've always, like to use a microphone, hold a microphone, because I don't think I'm Italian, but I have to have both hands to talk. I don't know what that is, but anyway, that's what I do. But I was just thinking this week as Jesus. I always like to put the gospel in 3D. I like to be there. I like to see the dusty roads. I like to see the people he interacted with and a lot of things in the Middle East probably still haven't changed much. But I like to vision that. And the interactions he had were with real people. They weren't just stories on a page, or it wasn't flannel graph. You don't do that anymore, I know. But when I was a kid, we'd put the pictures up on the flannel graph board, and you could see they had the waves and the boats and all that stuff. But it really happened with real people, okay? And he saw people every day, everywhere he went. And I think of often what he must have thought. And he made it clear in Matthew chapter 9, he said, Jesus went throughout the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He saw all these people and they just had no direction in their life. They were hopeless and helpless. And that bothered him. And that's why he came. Even at the very end of his life, he knew he was going to die soon, and his disciples couldn't stay awake to pray with him. You know, they just didn't have what it took to make it for the long haul. And then Peter, that night to deny him and all, he still died for us. He knew. He took a chance on you and me, because many of us will not accept him, but the ones that will, he makes a difference, doesn't he? So he saw the people just like we see today. If you look around, there's a lot of people. If you stop to get gas or you go to a convenience store or you go different places, you're going to see people that you kind of think, let's stay away from them a little bit, you know. And you see somebody walking around the pumps at the gas station. I hope he doesn't come over here. You know, I'm that way. You probably are too. But God would have seen it differently. Jesus would have seen them as each one a hurting person with needs in their lives and with situations that were in many cases beyond comprehension. But their lives were hard, and they were carrying heavy loads, and they were burdened, and they were burdened with taxes. They were burdened in a system that was really hard to survive in, and hasn't changed much today. And especially the lost. I think of the people that are lost. I'm so thankful to the Lord. I'm so thankful that I was raised in God's house. and it's always given me a burden to want to help other people that weren't, okay? It doesn't make us better. It doesn't make any difference at all, except we have a gift that we can share with other people that are hurting. That's why I love Teen Challenge, because people come because they're hurt, and God begins to answer their prayers, and I can speak into their lives. I love doing that. That's what I live for. That's what God has done in my heart. But they have this responsibility. People today, the load of their life is on their shoulders. They try to have a good life. They make decisions. They try new things. They work so hard to get their life together, and it's not always that great. And then they make choices that are really off and gets them all messed up. And before you know it, their life is just really a mess. Even if they're normal type of people, even if they go to work every day and all that, there's just not a happiness. Life is not what they wanted. Sometimes marriages have a hard time because they think, you know, I thought there'd be more to life than this, and your spouse can't seem to carry the load that you're expecting them to make you happy. So we look away, look somewhere else. Trying to be happy and occupies our life, and we carry it alone. Plus, there's this universal condemnation that when we're living in sin, we carry a load of guilt that we can never get rid of, can never get rid of. We have regrets. We have things that we've done, things we're not proud of, and yet there's no way to get rid of them. And they run into troubles. And one thing that hits me, they have no one to go to. I've thought so often, I've been through the most terrible grief in my life and losses and things like that. And I thought, God, how do people stand this without the power of the Holy Spirit living in us to encourage us and to help us? But they don't have that because they don't know the Lord. Who do you turn to? Yourself or to people or to substances, or you go to a doctor to try to help you understand what's wrong with your head, and they give you medications, and we just get, and there's nothing wrong with those, but necessarily there's not, but that's not the answer. The answer is right in here very often, and we're not getting that. Children of God, we're not much better because we find ourselves in the same boat that many of our people in the world are. And he told us in Proverbs 3:15, he says that the way of the transgressors is hard in the King James. They have a hard life. But children of God, we come to know the Lord. And then we still, you know, the problem is we still try to figure it out for ourselves. We still try to make it the best that we know how. And I don't care who you are, you think that you're smarter than the average bear and you can do that. You can't. You can't. Ask the average person in the world, what kind of driver are you? And 90% of the people say, I'm a pretty good driver. I've driven enough to know that's not true, okay? Yeah. Now, there's not 90% of the drivers out there that are good drivers. I am, you know, but not everybody else is. Hush, Rachel. Anyway, so we try to do it ourselves, and we think that we're going to make it. We're going to find a way to get it, but we're not. We struggle too. So I want to share something with you. In fact, that word, when he said that the way of the transgressor is hard, that can mean rugged. It can mean an enduring rut. Their life is in a place where they can't get out of it because of the weight of their sin, the weight of their decisions. But Jesus promised us something. He said, rest. I will give you rest. I love the scripture in Matthew 11. Jesus said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Wow. He isn't kidding. He is not kidding. And you say, can he do all that? Can he just really give you that kind of rest for your soul? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There's nothing like it, okay? And I realize that when I get out of sync and I kind of struggle with things and get all frustrated and everything, I realize, wait a minute, I've lost the connection here. You know, I don't have my Wi-Fi signal. I need to reconnect, okay? I need to get back in touch because he is the answer to every need I've ever had. Nothing comes my way that he doesn't help us with. So he says, come to me and I'll give you rest. You tired? Are you beat up or tired of life? Come to Jesus. And saints, this is to you too, okay? You have to do what I have to do. We have to come to Jesus. He is the rest that we need. He He doesn't just give us rest. He doesn't just heal our bodies. He is healing. He is strength. He is power. He is the everything we need in our hearts and lives. Come to Jesus, and he will give you rest. Do you believe that? Try it. I believe it. I think I got plenty of people in here that do. And then he said in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So we don't just take, we don't just come to him and say, okay, here I am, Lord. He does give us rest. But we have to take off that yoke that we've been carrying, which is hard to do. Okay? We tend to want to go back to that thing. He says, take my yoke upon you. His yoke fits. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because I'm meek and lowly of heart. And he says something that amazed me. You will find rest for your soul. I read that one day and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Wow, that's way, all the way deep down inside. He will give us rest in our soul. He promises that, because he said, my burden is easy and my yoke is easy, my burden is light. His yoke is going to fit you. And I just want to close with a psalm that just, I read this in devotions one time. I read the Bible through pretty often, and I know I've read all these scriptures 100 times. You have too. But the Lord in his wisdom and his love just someday just makes one pop, and you say, where has that been all my life? Okay? And I did this one time with this psalm. This is Psalm 131. This is David writing a psalm, and I just love this thing, okay? It's only 3 verses. Two are the part that I really want to share this morning. He says, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, and mine eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. We can't all say that. We do try to take on more than we should. We do try to handle things in our own strength. We think we should be able, a man should be able to take it, you know, and stand up and do better, work harder, try it again. That's what we were talking about here with the coming to the rest, okay? He said, I'm going to give you rest. And the rest isn't because you're inactive. It isn't because you're sitting. The rest is because of his presence. It just comes in and carries you and lifts you up. But here's what David said. He was a simple guy. He killed giants. He killed lions and bears. He did all these things. But he knew where the strength was. He knew that his strength was in the Lord. And he says, when things get too big for me, here's what he said. Verse 2. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. I see a picture here. This is a word picture of a little kid crawling up in his mom's lap, and nothing in this world is going to upset that kid. He's safe. He doesn't care what's outside. He doesn't care what else is going on. He doesn't know where the next meal is coming from. It doesn't matter. He's with mama, you know. And my mom was like that. She's a nurturer. My dad's this big old strong guy. And I felt like I was safe. And if I could just hang around him, just walk down the street with him, I was safe, man. My dad was strong. That's what he said. That's what David said. He said, like a weaned child is my soul within me. So we want to be those little children. Jesus said faith is like a child. Those little children say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what the answers are. I don't know anything. Right now, I just need to sit in your lap and lean my head on your breast and cry and listen and let you comfort me and show me. And he will guide us. He appreciates that more than anything. You know what? So that's advice this morning, okay? You're struggling. You're tired. You're worried. Let his rest take full effect on you and give rest to your soul and just lean on him and lay in his arms and say, God, I need you. Don't pray. Don't ask a lot of stuff. Just hang out for a while and let him talk to you. He'll give you peace. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Paul, I will turn this over to you. I'm glad to share this morning, and I thank you for supporting Teen Challenge. I know this church, I appreciate Pastor Mike and Teresa. My goodness, last Sunday he preached a message on the sovereignty of God and of our choice, the freedom of choice, and it was amazing. I enjoyed that. Still chewing on that one. So, Lord bless you guys, and Lord, have a good day, brother.
Amen. Y'all give him a hand. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.